שמא ישראל.
And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Command the children of Israel that they bring unto thee pure oil olive, beaten for the light, to cause the lamps to burn continually in the tabernacle of the congregation. And it shall be a statute forever in your generations.
All your body, Israel, Omerim Shema Israel.
The eternal life.
The National Broadcasting Company and its independent affiliated stations make free time available to present The Eternal Life, a program which comes to you under the auspices of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Our story today, The Three Gifts, written by Arnold Pearl, was based on a story of the same name by Isaac L. Peretz, translated by Dr. Solomon Lipson of the Yiddish Scientific Institute, EVO.
Not long ago, in a land which could be any place on earth, a man died. A man dying. Is that unusual? No, but important, since every life is important, and every death. But what happened in the hereafter was unusual, as you shall see. The court was assembled, the judge at his bench, the clerk at his table, and the newly arrived soul stood with his eyes averted. The matter was entirely routine, up to a point, said the heavenly clerk.
Name, please?
I am.
Speak a little louder, please.
I am.
That's better. Occupation?
Baker.
Really? I was a baker, too.
No.
Sure, only there's not much baking up here. Fridays, once in a while. Yes, Your Honor. Don't worry. He's a very fair judge, but strictly business. Were you a good baker, Honor?
Not good. Not bad. The Sabbath loaf I could bake, as my friend said, very well. On the other hand, my homentation, the cakes for Purim, were...
Just the essentials, please. Not good, not bad.
Yes, sir.
You died of...
Well, old age, I guess.
Old age? You were 61.
I was poor.
Ah, poverty and old age, then. Your Honor, we're ready.
Who is the advocate for the deceased?
I am, Your Honor. The angel, Abner.
Formerly his good spirit?
I was, Your Honor.
And who is the adversary of the deceased? Formerly his evil spirit?
It's Samael, Your Honor.
Where is he?
Late, Your Honor.
Late? Why? Is the load of evil deeds so heavy he couldn't get here in time?
I don't think so. He's just late. You know Samael.
Here he comes, Your Honor.
Your Honor, I...
Never mind, Samael. A soul is awaiting judgment.
I was encouraging a little swindle, Your Honor, and I...
No excuses while a soul is waiting judgment.
The prosecution is ready, Your Honor.
The court is now in session. Are the scales ready, clerk?
Ready, Your Honor.
So. Now, Abner, any great credits, any great good deeds to be weighed?
Your Honor, Chaim lived an ordinary life. No great good deeds. Small good deeds, yes. I have them all in my bag here. All the specks of goodness. But the great good deeds, no.
Any great debits, Samael?
No. Like Abner said, tiny vices, only the dust of evil, small stuff. I have them all here in my sack.
All right, start pouring. Good deeds on the right side of the balance, bad deeds on the left. Chaim, my friend.
Yes, Your Honor.
Don't be too nervous. These things usually come out pretty well.
So the angel Abner opened a snow-white bag. As he poured the tiny fragments of good deeds which Chaim had done in his lifetime, the delicate needle of the balance swung to the side of heaven. Then Samael, the adversary, opened his bag and poured too. His sack was gray, and it smelled of brimstone. Each fleck of an evil deed sent the needle away from heaven. So Abner poured on one side and Samael on the other, and the needle recorded judgment.
Your Honor, that flake Abner put on, I challenge it.
So? What does the flake represent?
Charity to the poor, Your Honor. And Chaim himself was poor.
But when he gave it, Your Honor, he was self-righteous in the giving. He boasted he had given to the poor. Is that charity?
Chaim, what do you have to say?
I guess Samael is right, Your Honor. I did boast a little.
Very well, Chaim. If you feel that way, take off the flake cabinet.
So it went. A challenge here, a challenge there. What had seemed a tiny evil proved a good deed, and vice versa. The advocate and the adversary each made his points clearly. And Chaim, what did he think?
I'm so surprised. Such a difference between good and evil. On earth, they seem so much alike.
Finally, both bags were empty. All the good deeds on one side, all the evil deeds on the other.
All right, clerk. Read the verdict.
This was the moment. If by a fraction of an inch the pointer was toward the heavenly side, then Chaim would take his place with the angels. But if a fraction to the other side, well, he didn't dare look. As a matter of fact, the judge didn't look. The only ones looking were the clerk, whose job it was, and, of course, Samael.
Well, clerk, read it. The verdict.
Your Honor?
Yes?
It's never happened before.
What?
Precisely in the middle. Neither heaven nor...
Impossible.
See for yourself.
In 27 eons of judging, I never heard of such a thing.
There's always got to be a first time. Precisely in the middle.
Abner.
Yes, Your Honor.
Turn your bag inside out. See if you can't find some minute particle. Something.
I looked. I even squeezed it. Nothing.
I looked too, Your Honor. Nothing.
Nice of you, Samuel. Absolutely nothing, Abner?
Not an aroma.
Clerk, check it. Use a magnifying glass.
Maybe if I stood at an angle, Your Honor?
You can't do that.
Oh. Dead center, Your Honor.
Yes. This requires thought. Court is recessed for 5 minutes.
It had never happened before. And if the angels and the judge were confounded, you can imagine how Chaim the baker felt. He sat in his chair, and tears welled in his eyes.
Now, Chaim, there's no need for that.
My kind angel, Abner. And you tried so hard.
Oh, but why cry?
Because what am I? Neither evil nor good. I mean, what am I? Nothing.
We'll see what the judge says.
Thimmer at least knows where he stands, but me, I'm...
Shh. Here he comes.
Chaim, my son. Come to the bench.
Yes, Your Honor.
At present, as things stand, there is no verdict.
I know, Your Honor. I'm less than nothing. I'm not even a zero.
As it stands, yes. So this is the decision. Go back to Earth. Go for a day. If on Earth you see something of goodness and purity, if you see a gift of piety or charity or self-sacrifice, bring a token of this gift back with you. See if you can bring 3 such gifts, Chaim.
3 gifts? And bring them here?
They should be full and generous gifts.
Full and generous. I see.
Make up your mind carefully. You have a day. If your gifts are acceptable, they will move the needle to the heavenly side.
And if not...
We'll talk about that. If it happens.
Your Honor, how will I know if a gift is worthy? I mean, I know the good things and the bad that are so alike sometimes. A man can make a mistake. How will I...
And Chaim broke off, because suddenly he realized he was alone. There was no judge, no court, no Abner. Not even the adversary Samael was there. He was alone, and the decision was his. He thought he heard the voice of the judge.
It's up to you, Chaim. You decide.
But he wasn't sure. He thought he heard the voice of the angel Abner.
You know, Chaim, you know.
But again, he wasn't sure. And he thought he heard...
I'll be there, Chaim. Be Samael. I'll advise you.
And though this voice sounded just like Samael's and was the loudest, he wasn't sure. The fact was, he was alone with a decision to make. He had to find three gifts. In a moment, Chaim was on Earth, in a village he never heard of, in a land he never knew existed. Where should he look first? The synagogue? Perhaps the marketplace? Why not? Anywhere they might be, anywhere. He walked, kept his eyes and ears open. People talked of everyday things. Sickness, a marriage, a funeral, a good crop. And intermingled with the words, he heard a name.
Rev Zanvil, and may he prosper. He helped my little Aaron when he was in trouble.
He made a note of the name, Rev Zanvil, and listened further.
A question like this, so important. We must go to the pious Reb Zandvila.
Again, Reb Zandvila. He made another note.
I tell you, Leah, Reb Zandvila is a truly pious man, a tzaddik.
So naturally, after he made the third note, he thought...
I'd like to meet this Reb Zandvila. Excuse me.
Yes?
Where could I find Reb Zandvila?
Well, at his house, I think. Today, what is it?
Thursday.
Of course, at his house, then, at the end of the street. Oh. He always distributes charity to the poor on Thursday.
Will he receive a stranger?
A stranger? Oh, is a stranger, Reb Zanvil takes a double delight.
A pious man, a righteous man, who takes a double joy in helping a stranger. I came to the right place. Reb Zanvil?
That's right. Can I help you?
I've come a great distance. I'm tired and...
Excuse me. I didn't get your name.
Chaim. Chaim the baker.
Could you excuse me, Reb Chaim? An old woman, the Widow Greenbaum, just a short distance from here. I promised to help her some wood. Sit down, I'll be right back.
Certainly, but I...
Yes?
Could I perhaps accompany you?
Certainly. Just let me get my axe.
So Chaim accompanied Reb Zanvil for reasons of his own.
I've heard he does deeds of charity, but if I see he does such deeds, then I'll know if there is a gift here or not.
They walked till they came to the woods. There Reb Zanvil rolled up his sleeves and chopped wood for an hour. And when he had finished...
That ought to be enough.
This is for the Widow Greenbaum?
That's right.
Tell me, Reb Zanvil, you come to the wood and you chop wood, but you don't let me help you. Why?
Let's deliver the wood. I'll tell you why.
Well, let me help carry some.
No. It's quite all right. I can manage. Please.
Well, if you insist.
To answer your question, why I do it myself, it's my pleasure. Believe me, my pleasure. Come, we'll walk. It isn't very far to her house.
Mm-hmm.
I must ask you. Shh, quiet. She's sick.
This is her shack?
I think she's sleeping inside.
Oh.
I'll tap on the window. I hate to wake her, but...
Yes?
I'm sorry if I woke you.
That's all right. If I could get off my bed, I'd come to greet you.
Well, stay where you are. By the window, we can talk. I brought you some wood.
Thank you.
I'll leave it in the shed.
You're very kind.
Have you someone to bring the logs in when you need them?
Don't worry, Reb Zander. I'll find someone.
No. Tell me, have you someone?
No, but you've been so kind already.
So it's done. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I'll stop by and bring in a 2-day supply.
Oh, Reb Zandvila, how can I thank you?
Don't. Get some sleep, rest. See you Friday.
This is indeed a pious man. Reb Zandvila.
Yes, my friend?
What I was going to ask... It isn't necessary.
If you wish help, my friend, do not deny me a chance to serve God. If I can help you...
You have a great deal. I'll just take a splinter from the wood pile.
A splinter? Take a log. Take...
And Reb Zandvila stopped in the middle of a sentence with his mouth open, for Chaim the baker, in that instant, disappeared. He had his splinter, his first gift, and he headed back for heaven. Halfway to heaven, a thought came into Chaim's head.
Fine. Only why did Reb Zandvila do all these good deeds, Chaim? Did you ever ask yourself that?
Chaim wasn't sure whether he had the thought or whether it was the angel Samael, the voice. Certainly sounded like Zamael's.
Why did Zandvila do all those good deeds?
Because it's written that he who feeds the hungry feeds God also.
Are you sure?
Is that you, Samael? Are you saying these things?
I'm only saying aloud what you yourself are thinking.
Yes, that's true. Why does he do it?
Why don't you find out, Chaim? Go back. Make sure.
Why should I?
Because it is also written that the ostentatious giver, God will bring to judgment.
That's true. I lost a flake on that one, I remember.
And you better hurry, Chaim. You haven't got all week. The judge said 1 day, 3 gifts. And this is only the first. And you're not even sure of this one.
So Chaim hung for a few moments between heaven and earth, undecided. And then... And then Chaim went back to earth, back to the marketplace. Chaim stood in the square of Reb Zandvila's village and listened.
Reb Zandvila, a blessed man. You heard about the wood.
The wood?
Yes.
No.
The widow Greenbaum, he chopped a cord of wood for her.
Is that a fact? A truly fine and pious man.
But Chaim was troubled. Since only he and the widow and Reb Zandvila had seen the act, who told this woman?
Excuse me.
Yes?
Who told you about Reb Zandvila and the widow Greenbaum?
Why, Reb Zandvila. Oh. He always tells. He does good deeds, and then he always tells about them.
You mean he boasts about them?
Oh, I wouldn't say he boasts. Oh, he tells, but we don't mind. Why do you ask?
Why? Well, that's why he does it. So everyone should know.
And he was gone, to the astonishment, naturally, of the woman. She wondered why this man, Chaim, should have been so surprised that a man gave and spoke openly of his giving, and that he should then disappear. But Chaim, in the meantime, had a problem. Was this a true gift or not? He confronted the man himself.
Reb Zanvile, I...
Oh, Reb Chaim the baker. I wondered what happened to you. You disappeared almost...
I had to go somewhere.
But now you're back. So you were going to ask me to help you. So I asked.
All right. All right, I will. I'm a poor man and my wife is sick.
Oh, too bad.
I need food, medicine, a nurse. I have no money.
I haven't much money, but come into my house
No,
and...
wait. Wait, stand where you are with the sun in your face. And let me look into your eyes.
As everyone knows, the eyes are the windows of the soul. There you may see, if you know how to look, the innermost depths of a human being. And Chaim looked. He saw something which troubled him. He saw pride. He saw ostentatious giving. He saw that each time Reb Zanvile gave, he rejoiced because of the fame it brought him, because of the applause. Chaim looked long before he spoke.
That's why you gave.
What?
Oh, and I thought it was a gift, a full and generous gift for the sake of giving.
I don't understand.
Remember, Reb Zanvile, he who gives in secret is as great as Moses, but the ostentatious giver, him God will bring to judgment.
With that, and with sadness also to be sure, Chaim left. He walked slowly through the village streets, dejected. He threw away the little splinter, the token of the gift. He kicked a pebble. Without knowing where he was going, his footsteps led him to the shack of the widow Greenbaum. Again, without knowing why, he took some of the wood Reb Zanvile had brought, carried it into the shack, and since it was cool, he lit a fire and sat down.
Hello?
Oh, hello, Widow Greenbaum. I'm Chaim, the baker.
Thank you for bringing in the wood and lighting the fire.
It wasn't anything.
It was very kind of you. It was getting chilly.
Very kind of me because I lit the fire? How do you know why I lit the fire? Maybe I lit the fire because I was cold.
Maybe you did. Even so, I'm glad. Maybe you sat down because you were tired. But at least I have someone to talk to. And if you lit the fire to keep you warm, it also keeps me warm.
Ah, but the wood itself is not a generous gift.
Why?
Do you know why Reb Zanvile gave it to you? Vanity. For the applause, the praise he gets.
But the logs burn just the same.
What?
If he gave, as you say, for the applause, is the fire any the less warm?
You don't understand. It is written, he who gives charity in secret is as great as Moses.
Must we all be as great as Moses?
What? What did you say?
Nothing. Did you never do a good deed for not such a good reason?
Yes, I did. Many times. I never thought of that.
We were made not to be angels. And only one of us was made into a Moses.
You're right.
It's written, a little less than the angels. Sometimes, take my husband, rest in peace. He was a lot less than the angels. But a fine man. I talk too much. It's a nice fire. Sit. Relax. If you like. Talk.
So Chaim sat, and the thought came to him in its fullness, and he reached into the fireplace and took out a piece of the charred wood, and after saying goodbye, he took the cinder with him to heaven. But on the way, he had a minor worry, for the day had come to an end. And all he had was the cinder.
The judge said 3 gifts. Still, this is the best I could do.
Then Chaim continued to heaven. He presented his gift before the judge. And not a word was said about the fact that it was only one gift. Not a sound. And when the cinder was placed on the scale...
Welcome to heaven, Chaim the Baker. Welcome.
It turned the scales, the cinder. And no one was puzzled that this gift alone should turn the scales, when the judge had said three gifts. No one, that is, except the adversary Samael.
Abner, tell me something.
What, Samael?
Since when does a judge break his promise?
Why?
He said three gifts. This Chaim brings back one, an old burnt piece of wood, and right away he's in heaven.
The cinder was not merely one gift, Samael.
No?
No. It was three.
Please, three. I saw it with my own eyes.
Just a moment. First, it was the gift of Reb Zamblin, the gift of charity. Yes?
So?
Was it?
I said it was. So?
Second, it was the gift of receiving without questioning the source of charity. The widow's gift. A good deed done with a poor motive is still a good deed.
All right, all right. So where's the third?
The gift of understanding, Samuel.
Understanding? Whose?
Chaim. He understood in that moment that what is expected of each man is that he aid his fellow men according to his talent. No more. Just that.
That's the third gift?
The third, according to his talent. I don't think you quite understand yet, Samuel.
I'm sure I don't.
But Chaim does, Samuel. Chaim the baker does. He understands.
Today's Eternal Light program, The Three Gifts, was written by Arnold Pearl and was based on a story of the same name by Isaac L. Peretz, translated by Dr. Solomon Lipson of the Yiddish Scientific Institute, EVO. The original music was composed by Morris Mamorsky and conducted by Milton Kadem. Featured as Chaim was Edgar Staley, and Norman Rose was the narrator. Cantor David Putterman sang the liturgical introduction. The entire production was under the direction of Walter McGraw. Free Time has been given by the National Broadcasting Company and its affiliated independent stations to present this program in cooperation with the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. This is NBC, the National Broadcasting Company.